Welcome one and all to the High Pressure Podcast. My name is Jeff Beamish, air quality meteorologist at Sonoma Technology in the San Francisco Bay Area.
And I'm Patrick Zahn, the lead air quality forecaster for Sonoma Technology.
And I'm Steve Irwin, also an air quality forecaster with Sonoma Technology.
Today, we are talking about the air quality index, that number that you see painted all over airnow.gov, the EPA's AirNow app. Very relevant, especially this summer here across the United States, where wildfires and smoke have impacted air quality for a large chunk of the population. We're here to make sense of the air quality index for you. We are going to talk about the basis of the air quality index, and then we're going to get in depth on the air quality index forecast and the nowcast AQI values that you see on airnow.gov. First and foremost, though, some baseline knowledge behind the air quality index, how it's based, and the different categories. For that, I'll turn the conversation over to Steve.
Thanks, Jeff. So the Air Quality Index, or AQI, is the Environmental Protection Agency's method of communicating basically how good or how bad the air quality is outside. This is particular to outside air, not indoor air. This AQI has been available as a tool since 1999. The AQI is a color-coded scale that ranges from good to hazardous. But before I jump into more about the AQI, I'd like to just briefly get into what types of pollutants are taken into account by the AQI. And the five pollutants considered in calculations of the AQI are ozone, particle pollution, carbon monoxide, nitrogen dioxide, and sulfur dioxide. These pollutants are each measured by air quality monitors across the country. Today, we'll mostly focus on ozone and particle pollution, as those are normally the dominant pollutants when it comes to the AQI. Now, these air quality measurements are first averaged over the period of 1 hour. And those hourly measurements of concentrations go into the nowcasts, which is something Jeff will discuss a little bit later. But those measurements are not the AQI. The AQI is based on averaging those hourly readings over longer periods of time, depending on what pollutant you're looking at. And so for ozone, the measurements are averaged over 8 hours. And for particle pollution, the measurements are averaged over 24 hours. These averaging periods were chosen because health studies over the years have linked health impacts to being exposed to pollution over these longer periods of time. So the averaging periods tie directly back to the potential health impacts. AQI can't really be known until the end of the day for that reason, because we have to look back and see what was the maximum average for each pollutant for that day. And again, it's calculated for ozone by selecting the highest 8-hour average. And for particle pollution, all 24 hours are averaged to come up with the AQI. Now, the AQI is not necessarily recorded or calculated everywhere. There are not air quality monitors everywhere. Only cities with populations of more than 350,000 are required by the EPA to report the AQI on a daily basis. However, many other locations do offer AQI reporting, so you can just check with your local agency to get more information. But getting back to the AQI and the color scale, I find the color scale very helpful, as the EPA has made the colors get darker as air quality worsens. It's sort of that stoplight effect. And so the colors correspond to how bad the air quality health impacts could be. The scale starts out with the good category, which is green. If the AQI is green, air pollution doesn't pose a health risk. And so you can go out and do those activities that you were planning without having to worry about the air quality. The next category is moderate, which is yellow. Now, for everyone other than those unusually sensitive to air pollution, it's still safe to go outside and exercise and enjoy those activities. At the next level, though, that's when there starts to be more concern. That category is called the unhealthy for sensitive groups category. So it's unhealthy for sensitive members of the population, such as those with heart or lung disease, also for older adults, children, and teenagers, as well as those who are simply just more active outdoors, including folks who work outside. Those are all people who could start to be impacted at the orange AQI level or sensitive or unhealthy for sensitive groups AQI level. Above the orange category, we have the red category, which is unhealthy. This is where everyone could start to feel health effects from the air quality. Then comes very unhealthy and hazardous, which are purple and maroon. And at those levels, there's a good chance everyone's health will be impacted. The purple and maroon colors, you'll normally see those in close proximity to, you know, large wildfires and things of that nature, where it's probably fairly obvious that the air quality is quite bad on that day.
And Steve, piggybacking off of what you're just talking about, that hazardous AQI category, there are times that the AQI value can be above 500. Now, the EPA considers that beyond the air quality index, beyond the AQI. And what folks are supposed to do is basically follow the same recommendations that are being made for the hazardous category. So what that means to you and I is basically just stay inside and keep your windows shut.
So one way I like to view the air quality index is a really useful tool for translating the pollutant concentration data into more useful information. As you mentioned, there are five different pollutants that are covered by the AQI, but you could ask, at what concentration is it going to be unhealthy air quality? And it really just depends on the pollutant. For instance, unhealthy air quality for fine particulate matter starts at 56 micrograms per meter cubed. But people aren't really, you know, interested in the concentration. They want actionable information based on this air quality index that sort of is a way for them to judge the air quality regardless of the pollutant. So for ozone, unhealthy AQI levels begin at 86 parts per billion. That's quite different from the PM concentrations. And that's one way I find the air quality index to be really useful.
So now, as I mentioned before, the AQI is calculated at the end of the day, but how can you know ahead of time if it's safe for you to do your outdoor activities? So for more on the AQI forecast, I'm going to hand it off to Patrick.
So this is a subject that is near and dear to our hearts because we are all air quality forecasters here. This is something that I've been doing for the last 14 years. And so as Steve mentioned, it can be really useful to know what the air quality index is going to be, not just today, but looking ahead to tomorrow and even the next day and several days into the future. So a number of state and local agencies across the country, air quality agencies, provide air quality forecasts for the public. And those forecasts are available on AirNow. They're also available in a lot of places online, especially the state or local air quality agency's website. So as Steve mentioned, these forecasts are really aimed at protecting public health by giving people information about the state of the air quality in the future. And it's really an estimate. And you might ask, well, how can we even predict the air quality in the future? Well, it really starts with a weather forecast. So we all have training in meteorology, but then you also have to know information about local and regional pollutant emissions. And that can be different from area to area. It can even be different within a region, county to county. The emissions and the meteorology can be very different. And now another thing that we're seeing more and more of is wildfires. And that is a really uncertain emissions source, as it were, because fires can change so quickly and the amount of smoke that they can put into the atmosphere can change from hour to hour. It can be a huge source of emissions that can impact both particles and ozone, and those pollutants can be transported hundreds or thousands of miles away. So wildfires especially present a challenge to forecasters when they're just trying to predict AQI levels in a particular region. So you might ask, well, which pollutants can you forecast for? And again, it depends on the region. It also depends on the time of year. In the summertime, in most areas, the dominant pollutant is ozone. But as we've seen here in California, especially this summer, it hasn't been ozone. It's been particle pollution, again, because of the wildfire smoke. So in a lot of areas, agencies will forecast ozone and particulate matter. Especially in the winter, particulate matter is the focus. But there are other parts of the country. For instance, in Hawaii, where their primary pollutant is sulfur dioxide. So their forecast will be looking at SO2 because of emissions from active volcanoes. So going back to what Steve mentioned about, you know, what's the AQI based on, our forecasts really follow those time averages that Steve mentioned. So what I mean by that is when we are forecasting for ozone, we are trying to predict a maximum 8-hour average, say for the next day. What's that highest 8-hour average going to be? And that's a rolling average throughout the day. And then for particulate matter, or PM2.5 is what we focus on, we're looking at a 24-hour average in our forecasts. So that's from midnight to midnight. And there can be changes within a given day, just from hour to hour, especially, for instance, if you have smoke, or if, you know, the ozone is changing, it usually changes throughout the day, so it's much higher in the afternoon. But we're really trying to capture the AQI levels for those time averages, 8 hours for ozone, 24 hours for PM. So again, these forecasts are trying to protect public health so that people know when it's going to be unhealthy air quality, for instance, and they can reduce their exposure by limiting the amount of time that they're outdoors or reducing their outdoor activity. But in some cases, the forecast also helps to influence behavior so that people can reduce emissions. So for instance, in the Sacramento area during the summer, if ozone is predicted to be high the next day, we will issue a spare the air alert. So while we're also trying to spare people's health, we're also trying to spare the air itself by reducing emissions. So some actions that people can take would be to reduce driving activities, to use public transportation, not mowing the lawn in the afternoon, things that will reduce emissions and hopefully improve the air quality just based on that forecast. Another key way in the wintertime that a forecast can influence behavior is if we predict particle levels to be very high, then the agency, the Sacramento agency, will actually issue a burn ban. So what that means is they are going to restrict wood burning. So that would be like in your fireplace to heat your home. Now there are exemptions if that's the only way that you can heat your home, but they're trying to reduce emissions because the meteorological conditions look like there might be a buildup of pollutants. So when we issue a burn ban in the winter, the hope is that people will reduce their residential wood burning, and that will in turn improve the air quality. So that's just a couple of ways that the forecast can influence behavior, which then can influence the final AQI for that day. It's really, I think, one of the biggest benefits to having an accurate forecast and to having a forecast program in general is that you're not just protecting public health, but in some cases you can actually improve the air quality. So these forecasts, as I mentioned, are available on AirNow or at the air quality agency that's in your area. Often if they have a website, they will post those forecasts on that website. There are also a number of ways to subscribe to get either emails or push notifications or texts regarding the air quality in your area. So I'm going to leave it at that for air quality forecasting, but Jeff is going to talk a little bit about the Nowcast AQI.
Yeah, Patrick, thanks for that great discussion on the AQI forecast. And Steve as well, really breaking down all of those air quality index categories. What I want to focus on now is the Nowcast AQI. This is the number that you see immediately when you log on to airnow.gov, that number on the dial. You also see this on the brand new AirNow app. And like the AQI forecast, that Nowcast AQI value that you're seeing on the app and airnow.gov, what that helps people do is really decide whether to go for that run, the hike, or the bike ride, aiding decision-making for outdoor activities. The Nowcast AQI, it uses algorithms and hourly air quality data, and then the Nowcast attempts to estimate the long-range daily AQI value, so that 8-hour average for ozone or 24-hour average for particulate matter. So how is the Nowcast derived? A couple of different ways. First and foremost, it comes from the hourly data that is fed from air quality monitors across the country. And then that data, the hourly monitor data, is plugged into a couple of different math equations. And it depends on the pollutant on which math equation is being used. For ozone, the Nowcast is calculated based on the current hourly value from an air quality monitor, but it also takes in 2 weeks worth of ozone data from that monitor to come up with that Nowcast AQI value. And for PM 2.5 and PM 10, it's based on weighting not only the current hours worth of data, but the prior 11 hours of data. And the most recent hour of data for PM 2.5 is weighted more. And the reason it is to account for short-term changes in air quality. For instance, when there's wildfires around and smoke varies from hour to hour, that's why the most recent hours in that PM 2.5 calculation are weighted a little bit more to account for those short-term changes. For the PM 2.5 Nowcast calculation, if the air quality is stable, remains constant throughout the day, that Nowcast will then be based off a longer-term average. Patrick.
Thanks, Jeff. I just wanted to jump in and say the way I like to think of the Nowcast is to give the users an estimate of the current AQI levels based on the more short-term observations. So it's trying to make an estimate of what's happening right now, and it especially tries to account for rapidly changing concentrations, like you mentioned, that might happen, say, if there's a plume of wildfire smoke or any time that there are very rapid changes. The Nowcast tries to account for that and give people the most up-to-date estimate of the AQI levels.
Exactly, Patrick, and I'm glad that you mentioned that. Like I mentioned just a few minutes ago, again, the Nowcast, what it's attempting to do is estimate those long-range daily AQI values for ozone and for particulate matter. So, you know, perhaps you're listening to this and wondering, well, why don't we just use the Nowcast to make that AQI forecast prediction? Well, remember that the Nowcast AQI is only factoring in monitoring data. It's not factoring in meteorological data like temperature, cloud cover, wind, of course, any wildfire that develops. So that's why it really the forecasts that are made from agencies is so vital, along with the Nowcast AQI value, to kind of give you the complete picture of the air quality situation in your part of the country. So we talked about some of the longer term averages or the longer term averaging for the daily AQI value. And here we are sitting and talking about, you know, an hourly Nowcast AQI value. Well, what are the hour by hour impacts of bad air quality? Well, Steve mentioned that there's been plenty of studies that have been involved in figuring out the long-term effects of, you know, 8 hours of exposure to bad air quality due to ozone or 24 hours worth of exposure due to PM 2.5. However, more studies are needed to assess the hour by hour health impacts on poor air quality. So that's why we have that hourly Nowcast AQI value still based on the AQI scale using those algorithms and hourly air quality data to estimate the long-range daily AQI values. Now, it's important to note here that throughout the day, air quality can vary, and thus the Nowcast value that you see on airnow.gov or on the AirNow app, that may change throughout the day as well. If you are planning the jog or the bike ride and want to get outside, the Nowcast could simply end up being lower at a different portion of the day. So that's why that AQI value, the Nowcast AQI value, is so important when planning your outdoor activities. Because if there's one part of the day when the AQI is above 100, probably best to stay indoors for a couple of hours and monitor the situation on airnow.gov and on the AirNow app to see where that Nowcast AQI value ends up falling as the day progresses. Steve.
Yeah, and I was just going to mention it. It's also good to pay attention to which pollutant is going to be the highest on a given day in your forecast. So if it's saying that ozone is going to be the highest, generally ozone is going to peak during the afternoon and evening hours. So even if you have a forecast of unhealthy for sensitive groups, or even worse for ozone, generally the morning hours are still going to be good to get outside and be active. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, if the forecast is for unhealthy for sensitive groups for particle pollution, a lot of times that's worse in the morning hours or late in the evening and overnight. And so you'd probably want to hold off your exercise until the afternoon hours when those particle levels might be lower. So it's really key to pay attention to not only the AQI category that's being forecast, but also which pollutant it's going to be. And then a lot of times, like in our discussions, we will also put in a discussion of when we think the air quality is going to be the worst during the day. And so looking at those discussions to know, okay, it is orange today, but there might be some good hours in the morning or in the evening. And how should I plan my day accordingly?
That's right, Steve. So those discussions that you mentioned, those are available again on the AirNow forecast and in many cases on the agency websites too. It's just a text discussion that explains the meteorology and the air quality going forward and gives a little bit more detail aside from just an AQI number forecast. But I also wanted to mention that as forecasts get more sophisticated, we're trending towards having forecasts that vary hour to hour in the future. So you're getting that hourly forecast that could be really helpful for people looking a day or two ahead so that they know which time of day it's expected to be good air quality or when it's supposed to get worse. For instance, if you're expected to get a plume of wildfire smoke in the afternoon, a more sophisticated forecast could hopefully incorporate that and give people better information to plan their activities.
Yeah, that's sort of kind of like Dippin' Dots, the future of ice cream. That's the future of air quality forecasting, that hour by hour forecast. And there's a few agencies already doing that here across the country. The one that comes to mind off the top of my head being the Arizona Department of Environmental Quality. Well, that does it for our discussion on the Air Quality Index. If you want to find out more information on what the AQI, the Air Quality Index, is, you can head on over to airnow.gov. They have a great explainer page called AQI Basics. You can check that out. As always, follow us on Twitter. We're at High Pressure Pod. And to see the amazing work we do here at Sonoma Technology, head over to www.sonomatech.com. I'm Jeff Beamish.
I'm Patrick Zahn.
I'm Steve Irwin.
Thanks for listening to the High Pressure Podcast.